This is an ABC podcast.
Saturday Breakfast, Roots and Shoots, with Amber and Sabrina, live from ABC Perth Studios.
This is Saturday the 18th of April edition of Roots and Shoots, where Sabrina and I are down in the big studio with a live studio audience here for ABC Open House. We didn't tell you we were dressing as bog witches, we just did it. Sabrina, you know when you find a note in your kid's backpack that there's a project due tomorrow?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm everybody in that situation today with my bog witch costume. I found the note yesterday. That awful Amber person had left it to the last minute.
But they're the best.
Are they?
Yeah, because that's when all the creativity comes out with haste.
I feel like I'm the disappointed teacher saying, Mrs. Cunningham, did you do Amber's homework again?
But we would like to invite everyone into our bog today. And Asha, who most people don't get to see the producers, they only get to see the presenter. So please welcome Ash, who is the producer extraordinaire.
And Ash has the microphone. If you have a gardening question, let her know. Give her a kind of bat signal or I don't know, what kind of signal could you have if you're a gardener?
Oh, if you're a gardener, you flutter.
That's it, flutter towards Asha Couch, who is, Sabrina is dressed as the good bog witch, and I am definitely the one that's been in the peat bog for 1,000 years. I could possibly be mistaken for seaweed. So 1-300-222-1025. If you have a question for Sabrina Hahn, who is ready to go for you, we have lines free. Mickey is up in the studio. Samara is taking your calls. But I would really like to encourage our audience to be, don't be shy. Get up there. Ask a gardening question. It's what we're here for, isn't it?
We are. Yeah. So come into the bog, join the witches, because we all specialise in different things, as witches often do.
What's this time of year going on? What should we be doing?
Well, it's a good time for planting. So yesterday I spent half of the children's inheritance buying plants at the Perth Garden Show and recreating a garden I don't have yet, which means I have to dig up a garden that I already have to be able to now put in the plants that I bought for the garden I'm going to have. So it's a great time for planting.
Gardeners are happier, aren't they?
Oh, gardeners are always happy in the garden. And it's cool. And there's a little bit of moisture in the air.
Oh,
moisture.
Beautiful.
A thing that Perth never gets.
We have someone here with a basket of tricks.
Oh, bring out your dad.
Who has a question for you, Sabrina Hahn. And Ash is chasing you. What's your name?
Miriam.
Hi, Miriam.
I saw you ladies at the plant swap across the road. And Amber, you nicked my fluffy Pomeranian out of
handbag. I did. Wouldn't they let him in today?
And I gave you both some treats. But I didn't do any baking. Have got some
eucalyptus citradoria.
How good is she?
Can you smell it?
And in case people don't know what they are, there's some there. There's nine.
I thought
you might want to give away.
Lovely
love
of you.
The smell. Can I give you a little story? I only live down the road in Highgate, across the road from a lovely little doggy park, and they've got these huge lemon-scented gums. And in the mornings when people walk around, I love that smell, but I'm in the process of moving.
I can smell it from here.
I thought I might do some guerrilla gardening.
Oh, we love that.
Because I gave you that book.
Yes, you did. Yes, so you are a bog witch.
Yes.
Essentially.
Yes.
She's got very good hair, though, hasn't she?
I put one over my head.
I don't know if you're allowed to have such good hair.
Ta-da. And if anyone gets one, you get a little poo bag courtesy of City of Vincent. You can carry them away without leaving droplets
that
everywhere.
That is wonderful. So the lemon-scented gum, I have to tell you, is a very large tree. But you might, well, there's a flutter over there too. You might want to have quite a big backyard, or you can guerrilla garden in a park.
Guerrilla garden.
Yes, along with guerrilla crochet. Look, we could be a team, couldn't we? Could crochet a bench cover.
We are a team.
We are. We already are. My dreams have actually come true. Asha has another question person.
Hello. How are you?
Very well.
Now, you said the water and the mist has started to fall. We were expecting a very dry winter, but
something changed, a big thunderstorm and all.
Yeah.
So do you change your plans for your garden ahead? Because it was going to be a very dry garden. How are we expecting a more wetter winter?
No. No, because I have to go for where the passion leads me.
So you're not really planting for season, you're planting for
I'm planting food, for passion.
No? Passion inside
I plan
you.
For passion and I plan for when I have time, which is such a limited amount of things.
It is indeed.
So however, I do pre-plan because the nursery that I love that's at the garden show,
yes,
Perth
yes.
Garden Show, they only come once a year. So I just know what they have on their list, and so I save myself for that 1 weekend.
And then I load up.
Do you have anything particular? Because I love the she-oak. I was down at the river today, and the she-oak during this season, it pollen goes on the water and the fish come up and it's an ecosystem plant.
Yep.
Have you much on how to plant them? Because, or from seed or your seedlings? How do you know about the she-oak?
You need a he-oak and a she-oak to get the oak.
Yeah. I've got three oaks in my yard, one female, two male.
So they're very good at actually self-seeding.
Mm-hmm.
And most people grow them from seed because the seed germinates really easily.
Okay.
But you can buy them in the tube stock as well.
Fantastic.
So if you let nature take its course with the he oak and the she oak and you provide the right bog environment, magic happens.
It does indeed. Thank you.
Sabrina, the good witch, Barb from Bicton is on line one, and Barb from Bicton has a bug issue. Hello, ooh. Barb. How are you?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you. Good morning, ladies.
Morning.
I have got a torquata 2.5 years old.
Yep.
Looking beautiful up until just recently. Now the buds are forming, but they're falling off.
Yep.
And we've developed some sort of black spotting, and I have sent you a picture.
Yes, you have lerps.
Oh, they don't look like lerps.
It's a lerp.
Lerps black?
No, lerps are white.
Well, I've got black on these. This is black. There are black bits and pieces.
You've got black bits, but you've got lerps as well. I thought I'd point that out.
Thank you.
Okay.
So what do I do about the black bits and the buds falling off?
Okay, so the buds falling off is normal for the torquata because they make 60 billion flowers, and out of all the trees that I know, they are the droppiest. They just drop buds willy-nilly because they produce too many. So don't be concerned about that. That is normal. Having lerps is quite good. If it's a bog witch, I can assure you that lerps, well, you can eat them
what
for
is a
start.
Lerp?
It's an insect that the insects underneath this little white coating and they produce a they shuck the sap and they secrete a sticky great sticky stuff.
Yeah.
And but the all the little partalotes and the honey eaters love lerps because they eat them. So it's really part of a whole ecosystem. So having lerps is not a bad thing, and you'll find lerps are on the lower leaves, not the upper leaves. You will get black spots on most eucalypts because they'll get a bit of fungus, nothing to worry about. Bud drop with that particular treat, nothing to worry about. Lerps, you rejoice in.
Oh, nice. Do you know what a LARP is?
LARP?
Yeah.
No.
Live action role play. Kind of what we're doing today. But there are people in the world who live action role play all kinds of stuff, and I heard about ones that was being office workers. Why? Anyone
really?
Would want to. Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, you'd talk about your KPIs, wouldn't you? Not as much fun as lerp.
No. Or what you've done on the photocopier.
Sam and Gero. How is it that she does this? We have a live person on the line. Good morning. Hi. What's your name?
My name's Bev.
Hi, Bev.
Sabrina, first of all, thank you very much for answering my questions when I write in to the newspaper.
Oh, my pleasure.
Fantastic. First, my question is, I'm getting little grasshoppers eating my citrus trees and things like that.
Yep.
Is there a spray you can use or just net, or you just have to let them eat?
Okay, so those little grasshoppers are the valengas, and soon they will be big grasshoppers. Mm. Now, as a bog witch, you would catch those with a net and use them for fishing. This is what Bold Pictured, they find a use for everything.
Yep.
Reduce,
reuse, recycle.
It is very difficult to control them because they move so quickly. So they eat and run. So the best method is late in the afternoon and first thing in the morning. They're actually really slow and dopey. So you can go behind them and cut their head off with a pair of secateurs, which is quite time consuming when you have a whole lot. Or, because there's no spray. There is a spray that they use when they're in juvenile stage and they're in plague proportions. But once you've got the adults, if you've got any of the larger birds, they love them. Wattle birds in particular will do battle with them. So they actually grab them and bash them to death, let them go, a bit like a cat chasing a mouse. So they'll let them go because they fly, and then they'll do it again and have a bit of a bash, and then they try and shove the whole thing down a baby bird's beak, which they're not big on. But there's honestly, it's very difficult to control, but cutting their head off is really effective. And gives you joy.
Which is, this will feed into our true crime podcast, Blood and Burn.
And a good death is a quick death. Oh, speaking of which, death... Because we're in the bog, we can speak honestly here. I got into big trouble last week.
From whom?
Or the week before, a lot of people. Someone wrote in telling me this cure on how to kill rats, which was using dried red kidney beans.
Yes.
Grinding it up, mixing it with peanut butter, and it killed the rats. So in my reply, I said, that's great, I haven't used that method. That's fantastic. And then 5 million people wrote in and said, it is highly toxic and kills everything. Kills birds, kills mammals, kills people. Don't ever use dried red kidney beans that you grind up. It's also poisonous for humans.
What?
Mix it with
kidney beans?
Yep. Dry, raw. Red, that's why you have to process beans.
Andrew Cox better look out.
There's a Bog witches have used raw red kidney beans for years.
Oh.
So I'm just fessing up now. So don't use that method. I was mortified.
Isn't it great, though, when the crowd wisdom comes into play? Because it is, and also to be learning new things constantly.
Definitely.
Line two, we have Sam Ingero. Are you our Sam? Sam Ingero?
Sorry, say it again.
Yeah, it's
our Sam.
Yeah, no,
hi,
good morning.
Hi, Sam. How are the kids?
No, good. Roger's having his morning tea, having a ginger nut biscuit and some milk, and Cass is currently in bed having a good snooze.
Sam, have you got the phone in your armpit?
Hang on, I'll put your speaker.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Vastly. Sorry, there we go.
Oh, my God, yeah. Thank you for that.
That's better.
Okay, so what's your question for Sam today?
So it's funny you're actually speaking about death because we lost our border collie a couple of weeks ago snake bite. And in lieu of her digging holes all through my garden, I wanted to plant a Geraldton wax on top of her.
Yeah.
And so just wondering what time of year Geraldton waxes generally became available in nurseries.
Right now, because Geraldton waxes are the very first to flower at the end of winter, and they are looking sensational at the moment, and the wholesale nurseries have just got an abundance of Geraldton wax at the moment.
What about that one the King's Park people put out last year? What's that called?
Can't remember.
Jubilee or something? It
can't,
was absolute stunner.
It's
got to be a grandiflora or some, if anyone knows.
Does anyone know?
Do you know, Asha?
And it's edible. The bud is edible. Someone must know something.
Are you sure it's not going to kill us?
No. That one won't kill you.
Okay.
Don't mix it with red kidney.
Asha has a question. No, Asha has a person. What's your name?
My name's Julie.
Hi, Julie. What's your question for Sab?
I've got a picture up there of a staghorn that I think I overwatered and all the leaves dropped off.
Yep.
And I'm just wondering, will they come back?
Yep,
or?
It will. Just stop watering it.
Now we're looking at all your photos in your phone.
Sorry,
better be good in there.
Oh my God.
You know when you hand your phone to someone, particularly someone of a certain age, like anything could happen. And like if I hand my phone to my husband to show him a meme, like I've got to explain what a meme is for half an hour, and then he's touched something and we're listening to death metal and it's all my fault. 1-300 doubled to 1025.
So, yeah. So, basically, you know how it all elkhorns and staghorns have all that packing at the back?
Yes.
So, that really holds the moisture. So, if you stop watering it now, then you'll be fine. It will recover. It will come back. But just do not water it. Does it get any rainfall where it is or not?
No, it's under a patio.
Okay, so that's good. So so in actual fact, they're epiphytic, meaning they don't need soil and they don't need to grow in water. It's more humidity and moisture. So the best way to have the best elkhorn is not to water it with a hose anyway. You mist spray it. And if you can get this is a bogwitch tip. If you can get a bucket of water and throw in the peels from your banana, then strain that water and use that as a spray on your elkhorn and your staghorn. They go gangbusters.
Okay. Wow, banana water.
Banana water.
Nice.
Can I follow up with my own question?
Yeah, well, of course you can, my bog witch.
My mum puts entire bananas in her staghorns. Yeah. Is that okay?
Absolutely. That's even better, but I'm too greedy. I want to eat the banana. I'm not going to give my elkhorn the whole banana. He only gets the peel.
Just the skin.
Yeah.
There's a nice chap in the front row earlier in the morning, like very early, when we were talking to our surfing chap. I couldn't think of the word for jet ski, so I called it a water motorbike. Someone in the front row who held up a sign that says, "I have a water motorbike." I'm very grateful for that. I'm glad I didn't sledge it. It's Gary from Inglewood, friend of the show. I believe I have someone in the front. Asha, someone in the front row here has a...
The Geraldton Wax.
So oh, Masquerade.
Masquerade was the Geraldton Wax.
Thank you so much.
Give a flutter if you would like to get Asher over to you with the microphone. There she goes.
As she just slides.
Hello. What's your name?
Annie.
Hi, it's Annie. It's our Annie. How are you going?
I'm going good. Thank you. My daughter lives in Chittering and she has a beautiful lime tree.
Yep.
But they're all falling off.
Yeah, that's
they're
what
tiny. They're kind of grape sized.
Yeah, they're just teething. So, how old is the lime tree?
We don't know.
Okay, so for the first 6 years, lime trees develop fruit just to get you sort of geared up for when they finally hold on to their fruit, which is usually around 6 years later, unless you live in a really humid tropical climate. So, this is quite normal. Do you know nearly all citrus drops minimum 70% of its fruit, all wow. citrus. Limes are really committed and they do about 80.
Citrus facts.
Yep, citrus facts. And so if you up the potassium with sulfate of potash and you spray them with a trace element foliar spray, it helps them to keep the fruit on. But even when you do all that, it's still 6 years before they hold on to the fruit because they need to develop a much bigger root system to actually hold on to the fruit.
Thank you.
How good is she? Just a round of applause for that question. And I would like you to, like, my hands are flying up all over the place. I just want you to observe, like, what I get to see every week sitting next to Sab is just how that vast canon of information is just at her instant recall and... It dazzles me because
it's from the bog.
And I've got to say too, like usually you sitting to the left of me in a certain light.
Well, yeah. Oh no, I actually plucked the moustaches.
There's a whopper just there.
Oh, is there?
Sorry, I was going to bring my tweezers in and just like wave them at you for comedic effect, but now I've just like dropped you in it. Asha,
but
has...
I didn't sit there because
oh, you've got your spider.
I've got my spider friend.
Hello,
Bev. What?
Bev, hi Bev. What's your question?
I have a Maya lemon tree that I love and it's over 20 years old because I've been in the house for 18 years and it's fantastic, except that last year with the wasp.
Oh, yeah.
The gall wasp.
Yep.
And it was just full of it. So I chopped it back severely.
Yep.
And now all I've got is...
A stick.
No. It's shooting, but it's shooting but not making any branches. What do I do?
You have to wait.
Another 20 years?
It will take a while. When you have to prune citrus really hard, unless it's a lemon tree, and lemon trees are, they would survive a nuclear holocaust, it takes a while for, because the plant will sort out which of those shoots is going to put the energy into making it a branch. So they have to decide, the root system decides how much energy will go to which part of the tree. So it can't make branches out of all those new shoots. So the thin, so you have to wait to see it develop. The very thin twiggy ones will always be weak. You may as well get rid of them so it can put the energy into a third of the branches that are left from the shoot.
So should I cut some of them out?
Yes.
Because there's hundreds of them.
Definitely, definitely.
They're all 5 or 6 feet high.
No, you've got to get rid of half of those.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
Can I just, where's Julie Keeley? Julie Keeley, are you here? Julie, Michael, Mitchell and Joel say happy birthday to you.
Oh.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Julie Keeley, from Mitchell and Joel. And we have another question down the back there, Asha.
Hello. And my husband's listening, so he will go to that big green shed if you tell me.
Oh, okay.
And I think it's Templetonia, the
yes.
Cocky's...
Yeah, the Cocky's tongue bush. Yep.
I've got two of them. I've got a bush
yep.
block.
Yep.
And all I've got is sticks. And they've been sticks for about 6 or maybe 7 years.
Right.
And I've gone and caught a caterpillar, a black caterpillar.
Yep.
And a wasp.
Yep.
But all I'm left with is sticks. How do I get them to actually get leaves?
What suburb are you in?
Falcon.
Oh, they should
Thanks
like
for coming
that.
All this
They're
way.
Native. They're native to Falcon.
Yeah, that's right. Is it underwater? I mean, not underwater. I mean, is it under reticulation? Does
no,
it get...
No. Bush
no?
block.
No? Bush block?
Mm.
Oh, it's a waste of time. I'd get rid of it.
Oh.
2 years?
Oh.
No, try pruning it. He doesn't need a chainsaw. Don't let him go and buy a chainsaw because he wants to prune
oh,
the Templetonia. I
yeah.
bet he does. He just needs a pair of scissors. No, all because it should be starting to flower now.
Yeah, sticks.
How tall is your stick?
Oh, about a metre.
Okay, I want you to take that stick down Gary. To 40 centimetres.
He'll hear that.
Yeah, so it'll either die or it'll shoot.
Okay.
But it will...
Yep.
I'm 70% sure it'll shoot. no, you need to prune it.
Okay, thank
Have
you.
Have you fertilised it?
Nope.
Give it some native fertiliser.
Okay, what's
Or a bit of blood and bone.
Oh, he likes it.
Blood and bone.
Blood and bone.
He
likes blood and bone. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Rose is on line one, and she's in, is it Walgett? Is that how you pronounce it? Walgott in New South Wales? Heavens to Betsy. Rose, hi.
Hello, ladies.
Hello.
What's your question for Saab from New South Wales?
Yeah, I'm out here in Walgett, is how you say it.
Yeah.
Very close. And I was just after some suggestions for fast-growing trees in very, very heavy clay soil.
Oh, heavy clay.
Nice. We don't know what it's like.
Something we dream of in the coast.
Can you bring a truckload of it over?
Sure.
Okay. So the definitely. Do you want a big tree?
Very big. So it's on a property, and we would like to use it as a windbreak.
Yep.
And some privacy. So yep. The quicker growing, the better. The
okay.
more dense.
Okay.
But also the hot winds that we get here during the summer.
Yep. Yep. So I would put in Angophora costata.
Same.
So now that's the Sydney apple, they call it, but it will grow in heavy soil. It's a beautiful tree, but it's a big tree and it has a big canopy.
Sensational.
Yep.
Okay.
So Angophora.
Yep. Yep.
Costata.
Angophora costata.
Yep. Sounds like a Mexican Perfect. Dance, doesn't it?
A little bit, or a dish.
Or a dish.
Rose, thank you for calling from Walgett. That's, gosh, we've got reach. haven't we?
Oh, we've
so
got
that
reach.
In front of the boss, Danielle. Reach. It's a big deal, isn't it? In radio, we talk about reach. We don't care about percentages. We care about reach.
We don't reach. We just
coming
reach.
To you live from East Perth, all the way to Walgett.
I've been
what are
given,
you looking at?
I've been given a picture of an Adenanthus.
The baby witch is.
Yep.
What's your name?
Hi, it's Catherine. I've just given you two pictures. One's of a woolly bush that's just trying to pass away slowly in this last week.
Yeah.
And then if you flick to the left, swipe left, you will see another dead white ephemeria-looking thing.
Oh, Eremophila.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Oh, that's Eremophila nivea. That's half dead. It's either Nivea or Pink Panther. No, it's Nivea.
Yeah, so it got brown leaves and then it just carked it. Don't know why.
It's on reticulation.
Oh, is that
actually, why? The one next to it's not looking that flash either.
No, they're both looking sad.
Oh, she's got a swimming pool too. Nice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and your boyfriend's pretty hot. See your pool boy. No, I'm only joking. I haven't gone any further. Okay, so Eremophila nivea is one of the desert Eremophilas and it really does not like water. So with all Eremophilas, you need to, number one, prune them right from when they're young. Otherwise, they get woody and sticky. They need hot, 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 full sun. You cannot water them more than once every 3 weeks. And you need to prune them by 50%. So they Eremophilas do not like water.
That's they're great, desert. Isn't it? Low maintenance.
Now, your woolly bush, your Adenanthus, what happens with Adenanthus is they have quite a surface root system, and so when the wind blows, they wibble wobble, and like the Wombles wibble wobble.
Oh, the Wombles of Wimbledon Common, are
we? Yeah. The Wombles would come to a bog.
I'm a Wimble of Wimbledon Common.
So what happens is some of the surface roots break, so you'll get one part of the bush that just dies off. So just cut that branch off. It's not going to come back. And then take a third off the top and the sides.
Of the whole lot?
Of the whole lot.
All right. Okay.
Bit of pruning to be had.
Thank you.
Great time
I'm just going to audio describe Asha, our producer. She's the youngest witch today. She's come in with a wig and she's got live foliage on her head. Mm. And from this distance, she looks like Weird Al Yankovic. And she's like, so beautiful and young, but it's just from that distance, it's the Weird Al Yankovic hair, top effort from Asha today. And everyone was a little bit shy, like, I'm not dressing up if you're not dressing up. And I actually realised I'm partially dressed as a Grim Reaper, really.
No, absolutely not.
Thank you, darling.
The Grim Reaper does not have beautiful hair like you have.
That's all I've got left. Have you got a question for Sabrina? Grab Weird Al here. She's just taking her phone back. Perhaps we should go to Andrew and Busso. Andrew is growing a mango. Andrew, how are you going?
Oh, I'm very well. Thank you, ladies. Now, I'd like you to use your imagination.
Ooh.
I've got a very big wheelbarrow full of poo, all the best poo in the world.
Right.
And I'm living next to a hill.
Yep. Is that where the poo came from? You've got a poo hill.
Well, could be, but I'm trying to grow a mango.
Yeah.
In Busselton. Is it time to start pushing that wheelbarrow?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So my fellow bog witch is looking bewildered. So basically what he wants to know is can he put poo on the mango
okay,
now?
Okay, all right. Yeah.
So, well, that's how I've interpreted it.
Yeah.
Yes, because it's still warm, don't poo it up when it's cold and wet. So you can poo it up now because
it's mild.
It's still warm. We've got
this
beautiful, humid weather, which a mango will love, and it'll still be taking up nutrients. Do you have fruit on it?
No. Every year it goes backwards.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. Oh. So that's what I'm thinking. I was actually thinking about pushing the poo up the hill, which...
That's a metaphor. That's he said it, and I talked over him.
Oh.
Bye, Gary. Gary from Inglewood's going.
See you, Gary.
Go and ride on your water motorbike. He's heading upstairs.
Okay, so I see, because I I have a potty mouth, and I didn't know that that's what you were meaning.
There you go. Yeah, well,
because I would have just come out and said what you mean.
Don't encourage that. We're not in delay.
No. No, don't give up on it. Don't give up on us, baby. No. So what you need to do, okay, I'm going to tell you what to do. You're going to dig a trench around that mango, and in the trench, like a bog, like a circular bog, you're going to put in some biochar. This is a bog, which recipe? Bit of biochar, bit of poo that doesn't come from a hill, minerals, some rock dust minerals and some compost. And then you're going to put wetting agent on it, and then you're going to wet it, and then you're going to walk around it humming or doing whatever it is that you do, and you're going to give it attention. You're going to hold its little trunk and go, come on now. Because anything living has energy, produces energy. We produce energy. There's people like me that believe that when you hug a tree, you get the energy from the tree. Because I'm a bog witch. So if you love something and
set
you
it
give
free.
It your energy, no, don't cut it down. No, I want you to cherish it and give it some love. Okay?
She's gone full Hecate Peg on us here.
No, you're just going to improve the soil. The root system will sniff out there's good stuff in there.
All right.
And it's going to go to there. Okay. It's going to grab it all and then it'll go, thank you, and it'll grow.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. What's your name?
Amanda,
I don't know why we can't
hear
you.
You're not on.
Tristan. Hello. Try one more time.
Now we're in.
Amanda, right. Hello, what's your question for Sad?
I'm Amanda, but occasionally you've spoken to me as Ada, the friendly ghost of Greenbushes.
Oh, yes.
Hi, Ada.
And we bought a tube stock of a Greenbushes plant, which I can't remember the proper name of.
Yep.
And we put it in our garden in Australind, and everyone was surprised because it grew beautiful, big, lush, gorgeous green thing, and within about 2 days it was an ugly brown thing, and we ripped it out. And we've got no idea why, because they're not supposed to be temperamental. They grow wild, and I put it up there, and it went, ugh.
What is it?
Yeah.
Ada.
I know, I only just tell people about the green bushes and how the town got its name, but I can't remember the proper name of it. And it's got shiny green leaf and orange flowers. I know, it's very specific stuff here. The town got its name because they found tin near the green bushes.
Right.
And I think my husband's Googling.
Oh,
faster.
That's okay.
Faster.
Quick.
Come on.
Where is it? Oh, no, he's not getting that.
No.
But anyway, but it grew to about a metre, and it just, I've never seen a plant go brown so fast.
Oh, no, it happens. So yeah. there's a myriad of reasons for a quick death. But it's usually something in the root system, it's hit something, or it's something like, because fungal diseases take a long time to kill. If it's an overnight kill, it's usually something that's happening below ground level.
Okay. Thank you.
What extraordinary
didn't really solve
anything. We have another one over here. Hello, what's your name?
Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hello, Joe.
We have a dwarf Wurtz avocado.
Yep.
That is beautifully lush.
Yep.
But has had babies twice, dropped them all. It's mulched, watered, about 4 years old.
Yep.
Do I remain patient?
You have to get yourself another avocado.
Oh.
So the Wurtz needs a pollinator. So you can either put in a reed or you can put in a Hass.
Oh.
So you won't get fruit off it unless you can talk your neighbour into putting an avocado tree in. Because the Wurtz is, you can get a semi-dwarf Hass. So that, you know, that only gets to about 8 metres, not 80. have you got room for another avocado?
We'll just have to make room.
Yeah, that's the spirit. Or talk to... I tell my neighbour she needs various plants all the time.
And she ignores you?
No, I plant them in anyway, regardless. She trusts me.
Come and move next door to you. Thank you for that. Norm is in Marmion and he has a Madagascan boab. Hello, Norm.
Norm!
Hello,
ladies. We're going to have a boab off. Is your boab bigger than mine?
Well, I have got three or four Madagascan boabs.
I've only got one.
One is about 5 metres tall, so
wow.
Getting to be about, I don't know, a third of a metre wide at the trunk,
Yep.
But the one I've got a problem with, I've got it in a long, narrow pot, and it's outgrowing the pot.
Yep.
And I want to put it in a half barrel.
Yep.
When should I do it?
Not now.
Okay, when?
So you're going to wait until October. So with the Madagascan boab, and I've noticed mine starting to lose its leaves already, they really don't like you mucking around with the root system as they're going into a winter. So if you can leave it there until October, that's prime time, because they don't start shooting until, you know, the end of October, November. So if you can wait until then, that's much better.
That goes with transplanting my Australian boabs that I've got in bonsai pots.
Is that the Queensland?
The one up from Broome.
Yeah, the the Australian boab. Sorry.
Yeah.
Same for them, because they have a wet and a dry, and our wet is their dry. And sure, they don't like the cold weather. So, yeah, any actual boab, leave it until October.
October. Okay, yep. Thank you, ladies.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Over to Asher in the crowd. Who have we got now?
I'm here with Jethro.
Jethro, cool.
Hello,
name.
Jethro.
I thought you were boabberry.
How do you grow strawberries?
Oh, hello, Jethro.
Is this Hillary's boy?
No, different Jethro.
Oh, sorry.
So, Jethro, you'd like to grow strawberries? Yeah, they're my favourite fruit.
How old are you, Jethro?
5 years old.
Oh, nice.
5 years old.
And you come with Dad today. Good on you, mate. You've taken the audience average age down considerably. Which wouldn't have been hard. I mean, you'd only have to be 40, really, to do that. I'm sorry to all of you. Jethro, back to Jethro strawberries.
Okay, Jethro. So, strawberries love lots and lots of food. They're very hungry growers. So, you know, you're 5 and you need lots of food, so you keep growing bigger and bigger and bigger. Strawberries are the same. So this is the best time to put strawberries in a pot or in the garden. But if you put them in the garden, things like slaters, snails, rats and mice will come and eat them. So I reckon you should grow them in a pot. So you need to get really good quality potting mix, and it'll have 5 ticks on it. So you need potting mix, a bag of compost and a bag of cow poo, and you're going to mix nearly a whole bag of potting mix, half a bag of compost and half a bag of cow poo. You're going to mix all that up in a wheelbarrow. Then you're going to buy your strawberry plants, because lots of the nurseries have got strawberry plants now, and there's about 12 different types you can get. And you pot them up, give them water and water them every day, and you'll get some beautiful strawberries. But you have to keep them up off the ground.
And if you'd like to listen back to that, because you didn't have a pen to write that down, Roots and Shoots is always up on our podcast feed, and that occurred at about 9:39 into the show, thereabouts. I think that's a bit of a rough guess. Asher, have you got more people down there, or should we go to Claire and Gingin? Let's go to Claire and Gingin while Asher runs around. Claire, you've got a marry.
Yes. It's not doing very well.
Marys are so...
Tell us why. What conditions is it living in?
It's living in heaven. It's beautiful soil,
yep.
Bush block that we're restoring, and there's other Mary trees around it which are happy, and this one's just... It's been in about 7 months.
Yep.
And all of a sudden it's just got really blotchy brown spots all over the leaves, and now all of the leaves are turning yellow quite quickly. Oh. It doesn't look good, but
it's dead face is happening right now, Claire. I'm sorry. Keep going, you two. Yeah.
Oh, my father-in-law tells me with great conviction that it's fine, just don't water it anymore. But I'm not sure. It doesn't look very well.
Well, don't water it anymore. I agree with him on that. I would be definitely getting some iron chelates on it.
What are they?
It's basically iron in a soluble form that the plant can uptake, because that's why where we have bauxite mining, when they replant with Mary and Jarrah, they don't grow because they need the iron oxide. So if you start putting some iron chelates on it or some trace elements that's high in iron, but cut the watering right back because they don't require a lot of water, then and see how it goes. But honestly, with eucalypts, once they go dull and yellow and they lose that chlorophyll green colour, it's usually not a good sign. But I want you to persevere.
Okay, and is it worth putting the same one back in the same spot or trying something different?
No, I would definitely try and persist with the Mary. Okay. Yeah. And speaking of trees, cockatoos, there's a people may remember that we're doing a whole plant trees out for the cockatoos. So the town of Vic Park are going to release some almonds for people to plant in their backyard, but you have to live in Vic Park, East Vic Park, Lathlane, Carlisle or Burswood. If you're interested in getting an almond tree to plant in your garden, can you email nuts with the number 4 cockatoos at gmail.com. So that's nuts 4 cockies at...
Cockies or cockatoos?
Sorry, cockies, C-O-C-K-I-E-S. Nuts for cockies at gmail.com. So if you can't remember that, if you listen to the podcast and you live in those suburbs and you're interested in putting an almond, they're free. Putting an almond tree in, there will be conditions with that. So you can't just dig a hole, shove it in and forget about it. We want it to grow.
Okay. Asha, who have you got up there now?
Hi, I'm Rose.
Hi, Rose.
My council put in a Queensland box tree and in our, you know, on the verge. And for
When?
Oh, we've been in the house 25 years.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, if they're doing it now, they need to be shot.
And I've probably spent thousands of dollars because what I didn't realise for the first 10 years that the Queensland box sends up roots, that kills everything.
Yep.
I tried every hardy native.
Yep.
I probably have spent, I can't imagine how much money.
Yep.
Should I just resort to putting pots in there now? Because I can't get anything to grow underneath the Queensland.
Yeah, everyone I know that's had success has built the soil up around it and actually put the plants in mulch, basically.
Right.
There are a couple of people I know that have a successful garden underneath a box tree, but they are out there 3 times a week.
Oh.
Picking up leaves, fertilising, blah, blah, blah. Okay. I would put stuff in pots.
Yep. Okay, beautiful. Yep.
Hobbling around with those little nuts in their feet.
Oh, they're
killers. It's as bad as Lego, isn't it?
I know. Shocking. They stab through your skin.
Okie dokes. Darren is in Beverley with a mulberry tree. Hello, Darren.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm just, I did a cutting off a mulberry tree.
Oh, yeah.
A while ago, and I think I talked to you about. Now, the small, about 4 of them died, they were in the pot, but one of them survived, and it's about a metre high now.
Yeah.
With leaves on it, it's getting mulberries on it now.
Oh.
Now is it time to take it out of the pot, put it in the ground?
You've got about 3 weeks, because it's going to go deciduous fairly soon. You've got time. Now, remember, mulberry root system is very big. It'll travel at least 30 metres.
What about if you prune it regularly?
No, you've got to prune them. If you prune them, it's okay.
The root system does.
I just think it might be getting root bound in the pot.
Oh, it probably is. So it's time for you to put it in the ground.
Okay.
So you go forth and dig a hole.
With it.
What
do I stick in with it?
Oh, okay. So get some compost, a bit of sheep poo, wetting agent and fertiliser.
And a placenta if you can find one. I mean,
if you can't find a placenta, just a liver.
Yeah, liver.
Or a heart, any organ.
Yeah, lovely. Ash has got another one for us. Thank you, Darren. Who have we got there?
Good morning, ladies. I'm Stefano.
Oh, Stefano.
Buongiorno.
Hi. I've got a garden in Greenwood. I've been turning it into natives.
Yep.
And the rosemary and lavender and things like that are doing pretty well.
Yep.
But I'd like to take out bits of it and put in some more vegetables, but the soil is so nasty.
Yeah.
How close to the natives can I dig out?
Yeah, I would leave about a gap of 50 centimetres.
Oh, nothing.
Nothing.
And any preparation tips?
Yeah, you've got to put... Have you got Banksias near where you want to put veggies?
No.
Banksia isn't... Okay, you're fine. So you will need clay, compost and poo. Dig it all in if you can. So if you dig it in, you get a much better result. And clay you have to mix in with our sand anyway. But if you're 40 centimetres from... It's really phosphorus. The big problem is if you get a high phosphorus fertiliser, it's going to knock off all the Proteaceae family. So all the Banksias, leucodendrons, leucospermums, grevilleas, hakeas, all that kind of caper. So, no, go forth and plant veggies.
Beauty, thank you.
Where's Katrina's dad? Excuse me. There he is. Katrina is a pigeon. Katrina is Gary's favourite pigeon.
Oh.
And can you pass the microphone to Gary, please, Ashes? Gary texts in fairly regularly to see how the winds are blowing when he releases his racing pigeons. Mm-hmm. And we had a lovely chat out in the coop mm-hmm. where we could hear Katrina. Can you do the noises that a pigeon makes? And honestly, it was one of the most beautiful conversations I've ever had. And Katrina had an egg. Tell mm-hmm. us what happened.
Well, the egg hatched and the listeners named her.
Oh.
And the winner was Andrea.
Oh.
And I think you've got a photo of Andrea there, which was taken this morning.
We do.
She's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, my. We're so proud of her. We're all the mummies and daddies in
and
here.
And the other one is Katrina.
Where's Katrina? No, that's a dead plant. Sorry. Gary, Betty. No. Gary, I'm so touched that you came in today to say hi. So, that's very kind of you.
Anyway, my question.
Yes.
Oh.
I have a mad keen gardener living close by.
Yeah.
Who always wants the droppings.
Oh, yeah.
No? So,
beautiful. Oh, it's awesome stuff.
They come in two brands.
Yep.
One comes from the race loft, which is just pure droppings.
Yep.
And the other comes from the breeding loft, which has got pine needles they use for nesting material mixed in.
Yep.
And she always specifies which one she wants.
Right.
So my question is, what is it used for?
Okay.
And is there anything it's not good for?
So, pigeons and doves back in Bogwich time, that's why they had dove cots and they used all the manure to grow all their food plants. Mm. So, they're actually quite high in phosphorus. So, the ones with the pine needles in it, the pine needles help to get rid of the ammonia and break everything down so it's a much softer fertiliser manure to use. The straight out of the racing pen coop thing, you can tell I don't keep pigeons.
Water motorbike.
that one. That's going to have a much greater release point, so it'll be a fast dump. Probably have a fair bit of nitrogen, ammonia and phosphorus in it. So that's safe to use on all your veggies. You don't want to put that on any native plant. But the one that's got the pine needles, that'll be an acidic type of fertiliser, poo, and that will be good for things like azaleas and camellias. That's why she's asking for two.
She always specifies which loft she wants it out of.
Yeah. And I saw a thing on Landline where teenagers are now taking up homing pigeons as a sport because a lot of them don't have yards and gardens and cubby houses and stuff. And they were interviewing these young teenage boys and they're so into it. They absolutely love it. I think it's fantastic.
That makes me incredibly happy.
Take it up. Get in touch.
Okay.
In touch. Where can we find you? You've got a Facebook group, Gary, haven't you? What's
Riverton
that called?
Pigeon Racing Club.
And are you racing at the moment? Is it a seasonal thing?
Starts the last Sunday in May.
Soon, it's coming up. We'll no doubt be hearing from you.
Just got the car back from service yesterday, ready to go.
So you drive huge distances, dump them, and then you fang at home and they release them the next morning. Yeah, someone's emphatically saying yes from the front here. Excellent. Everybody knows about pigeon racing except
me. These days the loft's got a monitor on it so you don't have to race home. It tells you when they get there.
Is that right?
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
And sent you an SMS message to say they've come home.
Did the pigeons type that?
Oh, that's brilliant. We've got another question, I think. Yes, hello. What's your name?
Hi, I'm Philip Cunnington.
Hi, Philip.
I grow probably 200 or 300 orchids.
Oh, wow.
Now, what's the best fertiliser to put on my orchids?
Well, I've got no idea because I don't grow orchids and you grow hundreds of them. Yeah. You should tell me.
First time we've had this happen.
There's so many different orchids, though. I mean, okay. There's hundreds of thousands of orchids. I wouldn't have a clue which orchid for what.
Oh, no. And that's the end of Roots and Shoots for the rest of us. Like, it's now dead in the water. The show is over. It was nice while it lasted. We're sorry we...
Do you not know? You grow heaps of orchids.
Yeah, I never put anything on them.
Well, there you
there
go.
You go.
Do they flower? Do they flower? Do they flower?
Oh, yeah, they flower like anything.
Well, there you go. You don't need to do anything.
I think what you're doing is it's just the vibes, man, isn't it?
I leave them out in the sun and everything. Winter.
Yeah, yeah, they actually need exposure to sun to be able to flower.
But they're beautiful. You just break the leaf where they start putting their roots at. You break them, just
and
plant
shove
them.
It in. Yeah. Well, okay. I'm sorry, everyone, to disappoint you, but orchids are not my field.
Okay, we have another question. Ash is shedding. She's become deciduous as she runs around with her leaves on. She's wearing leaves. Hello, what's your name?
Good morning. My name's Gavin. I had a question. I've got two quite tall pots, 1,200 by 600. They've got a lime in one and a lemon in the other. My question is, I was given some advice to knock the bottom of the pot out so they're able to put their roots a bit further into the ground. Is that a good option? And then if it was, what would I put into the ground below the pot?
If you've got the ground for them to do that, then, yeah, there's not a problem with that. But you'd need to enrich the soil in the hole that it's going into. I mean, most people would just plant it straight in the ground, but I don't know.
The reason for it is I'm trying to get a bit of cover, some shielding of the fence as well.
Oh, a bit of height.
Yes.
Okay. So I would cut the whole bottom out, and then so you'll need a hole about 30, 40 centimetres. Well, you need the hole, the width and the at least 40 centimetres deep. Fill it up with all the good stuff, because it'll take a while for the root system, but the root system, the microbes will suss it out that there's good stuff there and develop the roots going down.
Excellent.
So, yes, definitely do that. Yeah.
Thank you.
One quick question. Who have we got here? Run, faster.
Okay, hi.
Hi.
My name's Pauline. I've got a yucca in my courtyard.
Get rid of it.
I know.
Bobcat.
How?
Bobcat.
I've cut it down.
Even I know that.
Yep.
Excavator.
Off. Yep.
Move. Leave.
In a court.
Sell the house.
Okay.
None of the above.
So a consistent poisoning is required.
It's quite close to a golden shower, and I was worried
care.
About the roots.
No. It won't. The golden shower will be fine.
Okay.
So what you do is you get a tomahawk and you hack the top
or
of it.
The sabby stabber.
Oh, the sabby stabber.
Or the harn hacker.
Every 3 months, and you paint it with blackberry killer and kerosene, 40% blackberry tree killer, 60% kerosene. With a sabby stabber every 3 months. Poison it. That's not going to go to your golden shower tree.
Good.
That will just stay in that disgusting, horrible, hideous, ugly, evil yucca.
Okay.
A Dracaena is not a yucca, is it?
No, it's
not. No, somebody was telling me they had yuccas, and
no.
I said, that's a Dracaena.
Yes, of course it is.
It was like a truffula tree. We have been leading people up the garden path, which is our job.
It is our job.
However, someone's fact-checked us, which I'm glad they have. They said the masquerade is a kangaroo paw, not the Geraldton wax. I think the G-wax you're talking about is the white diamond. I fact-checked the fact-checker, and the fact-checker was right.
exactly was right.
In fact, white it wasn't diamond. Us. It was someone down there. I blame you.
It wasn't
you.
Us.
It
was wasn't you. There is a kangaroo port called Masquerade.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
So the Geraldton anyway. Wax that Kings Park put out as part of their birthday celebration last year was the white diamond. We are heading towards Newstown. I can't tell you how fun it's been to see all your faces. We'll be sticking around if you want to come and say hi, if you can do that. Sabrina Hahn, are the sporty boys coming with their sporty balls? That's usually what happens around here. Yeah, it's been fun. I don't know what happens now. I press a button, don't I?
Yes,
that's what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, do that. Press a button.
Hey, thanks for coming. Thanks for playing with us today. We've had an absolute ball. It is 10 o'clock.
Yumbo and Cherry Crush, two of the new
varieties. You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.